So we have some time now for any questions or comments about anything that is present for you. Whatever is here. On the suffering and the end of suffering.
Just briefly.
I heard a lot this weekend about suffering, and you learned the capacity to hold the greatest and greatest.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the end of
suffering? Well, it's a really good question. And the Buddha spent the, what was it, 45 years of his life wandering around India teaching the answer to that. So let's see if I can, you know, say it in a few words. So yeah, I mean, this weekend we were focusing in some ways on the first of the Noble Truths. The truth that there is suffering, and the fact that in order to free ourselves of suffering, first we have to be willing to come face to face to it. And to come face to face to it, to sit in it, and to open our heart to that. So that is one place this very fundamental teaching of the Buddhist tradition and this practices that we've been engaged in come together. Another way to say it, I think some of you, I said something sort of like this upstairs at one point, is that sometimes there's two aspects to practice. One is to sort of cut through the ways that we create suffering and the unsatisfactoriness of our life to our hearts, to get there to this wholesome goodness that is here in our hearts and to touch that. And another approach is one that is, you know, usually primary in this tradition, which is to attend to the different ways that we create suffering through our greed and our aversion and our delusion. We are marinating in our unsatisfactoriness. And we learn to see that and see the nature of unsatisfactoriness and our craving and clinging around it. And the equanimity that we practiced here today is also one of the doorways into the not suffering aspect, to the being at ease with the challenges of the world. So in some ways, the compassion element is what allows us to contact suffering, and the equanimity is a doorway into the freedom from suffering. So these do interconnect with that, the teachings around freedom from suffering. The
equanimity is the doorway to freedom from suffering.
Yeah.
The first one was the something new.
And then the compassion is the doorway into being able to be fully with the suffering. And we have to be able to do both. Sometimes we, like, you know, I've been saying all weekend, we want to skip to just being free. Yeah. It's good to admit that. But we can't. We can't just skip there. That's the indifference. That's the aloofness. That's the separation. We have to be willing to fully contact the unsatisfactory, changing nature of of this experience of being human. That's another great way of understanding it. For those who couldn't hear, she's talking about after the Buddha was enlightened, one of the things he is quoted to have said is, "House builder, oh house builder, I will not build this house anymore. The ridge pole is broken. The rafters have all fallen down." And I think there's one more phrase in it. And what he's talking about is that he's no longer building the identity of self, and that without the identity of self, then this constructing of the unsatisfactoriness, the fabrication of unsatisfactoriness, falls away. And that's part of what we're doing here, is breaking down and seeing through the fabrications that cause the suffering. So that was, I think, your answer to the question. Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, another one of the seven factors is the developing joy.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if you could, and I really appreciate what you've done here on this retreat.
Mm-hmm.
Could you comment on that in relation to what we've been doing today?
Well, I'm hoping, part of the reason this retreat is what it is because there was or there is, will be.
There was a retreat on joy last fall.
Yeah. So there was a retreat on joy last fall on metta and joy that I was following up on. Because there's these four different Brahmaviharas of the loving kindness, compassion, sympathetic joy, and equanimity. And they're a little too much to take them all on a weekend. So often we just do one. But one way of understanding all of them together, well, especially, I'll say something actually about the first three and then the fourth one, is that they're, all of them are an openness of heart to the truth of the way things are in that moment. And in the moment when there's nothing extreme going on, nothing big one way or the other, our hearts, if they're open, just meet the moment and the person and the situation with friendliness. And that's the metta. Just whatever's here, being friendly, open-hearted to that. When these open hearts meet suffering, either in ourselves or in another person, it's the same quality of heart, but now it's coming into contact with something that's more difficult, and the result, when the heart is open, is this quality of compassion. But it's still the same. We break it down only in that it's this open heart now contacting a different situation. And then what happens, the third one, is this open heart contacting joy, beauty, wonder. So you may have noticed that whenever the walking meditation came along, I was like, go outside, look at the trees, enjoy it. Because what I was pointing to there is what happens when this open heart goes out and contacts something beautiful and joyful. How many people with these tender hearts, when you went outside, noticed an enlivening? It just happened. See, especially barefoot there. But, you know, do you see how I didn't have to give a instruction around joy? I was giving an instruction about opening our hearts. And once the heart was open, then we're available. And it meets a different condition. Yeah. And then the equanimity for all of these is the balancing factor that allows us to move from one to the other with flexibility and availability, and not thinking that it always has to be a certain way. And the heart has this, flexibility is the best word I can think of. Yeah, thank you. And that brings you a lot of joy. Yeah, the preciousness. Yeah, that is. If people could people hear her? No. She said that being in, it's okay, most, that's what this is for. Being in the last third of her life, over 70, she's really in contact with the preciousness of this human life. And that brings her joy. And I think that's part of what is so important about this. When we come into contact with the compassion, with the suffering, it's not that then we start suffering. It's that we see the tenderness, the preciousness. And we see, you know, it's like the fact that we age and we die actually makes every moment so much more precious. You know, these things are not separated. They are all fitting together. And the intention in this practice as we do this is that we bring this aliveness to our lives, that we really show up. Because it only happens once. You know, this moment right here, these 2 days we've spent together, they're about to end and they're gone. Gone completely. And it's pretty remarkable that every moment is just happening once. Those conditions just come together and then they're gone. And this is the wonder part of the impermanence that we live in. That if we can tap into the mystery of it just happening and being gone again and again, and stepping into that, wow, you know? And there's these moments like in the natural world and, you know, coming face to face to somebody, or moments in our, that where we get it and then, you know, we keep practicing being with that experience each time, being fully present for whatever is here. Yeah. Other, anything else? Maybe we're sated. Maybe it's time. I'll just say a couple little things then, and then we'll just do a very short ending meditation. I put out on the back door, or back there, if you want, I have a list of a calendar of retreats that I'm doing